Welcome to the Tripod, where we break down the NRL every game, every week from a punting perspective. I'm Jacob Wynn. This is the Round 15 preview. First off the bat, I just want to say apologies if this podcast comes out late at all. Today specifically, I had a couple of things pop up, and the thing is about the process that I go through to put this pod together, I never take any shortcuts, and I'm also, there's only so many things I can do ahead of time because I always need to access the odds to have them as up-to-date as possible and have all the information available to me as up-to-date as possible. So I advertise that this is live 5:45 p.m. on YouTube, and I always strive for that, but sometimes my hands are tied when I get to a point where it's uploading, and if it isn't quite ready, sometimes you guys are probably aware that it's been shooting up live at 6 p.m. or something like that. So hopefully it's easy for you to see when you just check the YouTube feed when it's going to premiere, and it's always pretty as close to 6 or 5:45 as I can do. We are on the off the back of a great round for the pod. Round 14, we went 5-0 on the best bets, a sweep there, as well as winning the mixed matchup, which was $2.75, with the Bulldogs scoring more points than Brisbane, and I didn't get to celebrate that on the live recap because I did that a day early, so it was up in the air. We were 3-0 at that point, but we brought it home strong, which I'm really glad to do, and I appreciate all the positive feedback. I really do. I did a little Facebook story, but I said, you know, I see everyone commenting, you're a god or you're a goat and stuff, and I just want to say that stuff, like, don't worry, that stuff does not go to my head. I've done this for 7 years. There's been times where I've tipped 100-1 plus odds multis. We've gotten praise like that before. And one thing I know for sure is that punters have really short memories. And if you don't win money the next week, then nobody wants to be your friend again. So look, I still appreciate that because, as I said in the Facebook story, you know, my number one goal is to just grow this podcast. If the tips are winning people money, that's going to help me continue to do that. And I've got a few words of warning for people who are new or just the reality of punting, and I'll talk a bit about the multis, but most of you are here for the best bets, so let's dive straight into them. My first best bet is I'm taking the Raiders -1.5, $1.91. It's a dollar, oh, that's on 365 or $1.90 everywhere else, and they're playing the Dragons. I just see this simply as a match between two teams heading in opposite directions. I think if you look at the form of both of them, Dragons and Raiders, they've both only won about two of their last nine. And the Dragons are actually the team that's a few spots higher on the ladder and at home. But the biggest issue the Raiders had this season, as well as blowing a few leads, has just been their ability to not all perform as a team. And I really feel there's a sense that this team has turned the corner, having that bye week and then coming out and having a good home performance last week, allowing George Williams to leave the club. I think that as well, across the park, they're the stronger team than St. George. And on the back of their class players like Jack White and like Josh Hodgson, I think they're going to win this one. So I'm happy to lay -1.5. Then we move to Sunday. I'm taking the Bulldogs. Let's jump on the Doggies again. +10.5 first half. That is $1.88 on Ladbrokes, and Ned's also available on Unibet. They are playing the Eels at Wank Best, and I'm a little wary of a Dog's come down after that, you know, emotional high of getting that second win of the season. But I just see them as actually a fit, fresh squad that's coming in, having had their bye, having had actually a pretty comfortable win on Monday. They're nearly at full strength in terms of the 1-17 that they can pick, pending Wateni Zalesniak, who didn't play last week but could return this week. I think they're confident off the win, but certainly not overconfident. You're playing an Eels team that towed you up last time. You're bottom on the ladder, but I just like the toughness and general positivity in this Dogs camp, that they actually can feel they're progressing somewhere. Where with Parramatta, I don't have a lot to knock on them. When you're a 20-point favourite, you're going to be, you know, favoured like that much for a reason. Sivo is suspended for this game. Still no Reid Marnie. They've certainly been rolling, and I think it's on the back of Dylan Brown getting back in the team, and they could still win this game by a big score, but I feel like the smartest way for them to play this as well is just come in and be fundamental and be conservative in your game plan. Don't give any big openings to the Bulldogs, and you can kind of trust your class is going to prevail. And if that is the case, it's much more likely that will be second half. So I definitely lean to the Bulldogs +20.5 overall, but I think the even better bet is to have them within 10 first half. And finally, my third best bet for the round is the final game of the round, taking the Titans +4.5 in the first half, $1.85 on Sportsbet, $1.83 on Toppy, and they are hosting Manly. So I know a few people would have grimaced just then in me jumping on this Titans team. I simply think their season is on the line right now where they're sitting. Their squad is basically full strength. Again, you're pending your fullback. in AJ Brimson. It sounds like he's better than 50-50 to play. Plus, you've got Campbell backing him up anyway. But across the forward pack, at least, they are full strength with their rep stars. Of course, Manly gets back Turbo. They're still missing Schuster. I feel like not much has been made of that since he's been out. And I mean, Manly did put up 50 points last week, so nobody really notices. And of course, last time the Titans and Seagulls hooked up, it was 36-0 to Manly. So there's not much reason to believe in the Titans. They play like an under 20 side. It seems like they're let in 30 every week. But the reason I will be on them this week is I believe if they really come in with focus and effort, playing at home, and they bring it, they can tighten up the defense. And then we actually do know they got points in them, especially since Peachy's been back in the team playing that roaming ball playing lock. So I think they actually make a really good game of this and could win. Across the rest of the park, I think they have the talent to mix it up with Manly. So I really like the plus 8.5, which is available on some bookies for the Titans. But I think even better way to play it, as I've spoken about several times, take the underdog with that halftime line if it's half the full hand handicap, because they got to start well. And if the Titans are down 6 or more, you're not going to feel as confident about the 8.5. That's why I like playing it first half, because I'm banking on them coming out of the blocks with a big performance, especially after the last time that Gold Coast played, they found themselves down 30-4 and still nearly won. They got to start better. If they do, that will be great for our best bet. Now, just let me quickly summarize what I do for the new people here. I appreciate you being here. I certainly don't have a crystal ball. I do not give out winners as such. I just tip things that I think have a better chance of winning than the odds that you can get. After that, I don't control the outcomes. I watch every minute of every game and I sweat through the games just like everyone else. On Monday, I watched the Dogs versus St. George. We had everything on the line. Two best bets, the mixed matchup, two different multis. And I was yelling at the TV. I was losing my mind when Josh Jackson got sent to the sin bin for being offside on the halfway line. I was losing my mind when Wakeham tried to tiptoe down the sideline on like first tackle and just got pushed into touch. And my missus heard me screaming at the TV and assumed the game mustn't have been going very well. And in the end, the Bulldogs won the game, by 20 points? But it just goes to show, like, some of these games, there's a lot of big moments and it can go either way, and that's why it's just literally impossible to win them all. And of course, on a round like round 14, when we do win them all, I'm not surprised, because I know I'm putting in the work to find these plays, but I just need everyone to understand that it won't always go my way, that's for sure. So only back the plays I share out that you agree with, and always in a responsible way. People have been messaging me a bit about being a paid service, or would I ever do paid tips? And so I'll just touch on that really quickly. I mean, I'm well aware, and certainly Alex left the pod in, I think, December or November last year. We're both very well aware that we would make a killing if this was a paid service. We understand how many people potentially would, you know, want to keep following and how much people would potentially pay. And if let me just tell you straight up, if our objective was just purely making money, then Alex would still be here and we probably would be doing something like that. But, you know, the thing is about the pod, we put so much time and effort in, and we really do believe in what we, the product that we create and the information that we give out. And I've always just had the thinking that the second that anything became paid, any aspect of the pod became paid, I'm cutting down the audience. That's simply going to create a barrier between the pod and the audience. And when you put in as much work as we do, you want to reach as many people as possible. So with that, you're always going to get criticism when you're putting something out there. And I think a lot of it is unfair. And I appreciate all the support again, guys, because that is what, you know, makes this all worthwhile. But if there is a fair bit of criticism, I've heard people say that we're not smart business people based on the following that we have, and that we couldn't even afford to keep Alex on board doing this. And I actually think that maybe fair, you know, call me naive or, you know, call me, a dreamer. But I have all my eggs in the podcast basket. I really just am hell-bent on growing this pod, rewarding people who listen, wanting everyone who follows or watches to enjoy it and to keep coming back, and for it to be worthwhile for them to coming back. And if they support me, and even guys just even commenting and hitting like, if you watch this on YouTube or Facebook, or just tipping it off to your mates, all those little things is what it's all about to us. You know, we started this pod, I want to make it clear, not trying to tell people if you follow us, you're going to get rich. You know, I'm not here saying, oh, I'm not going to rub it in people's face who didn't get on the tips last week, saying, oh, you know, if you don't back my tips, you're wasting, you're not getting free money. The tips last week was not free money. Anybody who jumped on with me did well because you took a risk and you got the reward. And in this occasion, it paid off very handsomely. Let's just talk about multis, and I'll put that up on the screen because we won a 13-1 multi, we won a 4-1 multi. So now the multis are in +8 units for the season territory. And, you know, in the interest of full transparency, that they were not in positive territory up until this week. I've shown that every week in the description, the multis being down 3 units, 4 units, 6 units. And I talk about that every pod as well. And the simple fact was we hadn't hit a double-digit winner yet. And we have now. And the fact that we hadn't won a double-digit multi until round 14, that didn't make us due. I'm a believer that you have the same chance of winning a multi in round 1 as you do in round 14 and as we do again in round 15. And the thing about multis that I tip you guys, they are actually even harder to be profitable than the best bets because, of course, you got to find all the legs on the same bookie. So you don't get that extra benefit that you can shop for the very best price, very best line. And on top of that, I give the multis out a day or two after the pod, where the pod, as you guys know, has already influenced the market. So sometimes the very best prices and lines may have moved as a result of our sharing on the pod, which makes it even harder to beat the bookies. But at +8 units on multis this season as well, we are beating them there too. And so, I'm really happy about that because that means the people who are jumping on got that juicy return. Now, in terms of Tristan and Top Sport, we've got another mixed matchup coming up this pod, and Tristan, funnily enough, is still speaking to me even after the weekend and even after we've won 4 mixed matchups in a row. So, in fact, let's throw to him now with another edition of Market Watch.
Hello, punters. It's Tristan Merlihan here from Top Sport. We had a very interesting round 14 just gone, where I'm sure everyone out there listening will take great pleasure in knowing that we had one of our worst NRL weekends of the year. Started at Origin this time last week, where the New South Wales side were very heavily backed at the 5.5, and they covered very convincingly. The overs was well supported, and that covered as well. So that got us off on the wrong foot. Then we move into the what's always one of the hardest weekends to price when you've got uncertainty around which players are going to line up for their respective sides, despite being named. We saw in particular the Manly game and the Panthers game have significant betting moves on the back of the uncertainty surrounding players and subsequent withdrawals for the Panthers team. The Sharks were well backed from the 9.5 into 4 flat, and they just got over the line in the end, so that was an ordinary result. The one that was by far and away the worst result of the weekend was the Raiders against the Broncos, where the line moved a little bit in the Raiders' favour, but we were sort of comfortable enough taking on the Raiders at the short price on the back of their, you know, one win from eight starts. So we got stung a little bit there, and then we moved on to the favourites rolling through the Sunday card. And even surprisingly enough, there was support for the Bulldogs at the big price against the Dragons. So we move on to next week, or to this week, and we've got a lot more settled lineups with all the players expected to play that have been named, you'd expect. There are a couple of very pivotal games for top eight calculations. You've got the Cowboys against the Sharks, the Knights against the Warriors, and the Dragons against the Raiders, which all have pretty significant implications. The biggest move of the weekend so far has been the Storm against the Tigers, where that line's gone from 22.5 out to 23.5, but heavily supported at the minus at that point. So interesting weekend ahead, punters. Make sure you gamble responsibly, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Tristan. There you go, guys. A rough weekend for them, but a good weekend for us. That's one for the good guys. Let's see if we can do it again this round. I'm going to go through every game and share what my considerations and important stuff I think every punter should consider for these games, as well as going a little bit more in depth in the 3 matches. I do have a best bet, but the round kicks off with the Broncos hosting the Rabbitohs, and the Rabbitohs are an 18.5 point favorite. Xavier Coates is going to be back. He was withdrawn in the warm-up last weekend with a hammy complaint, so it's good news for Brisbane that he's actually good to go, you know, 5 days later. Tessie New is playing fullback here, so Farnworth back to centers. But how about these ins for the Rabbitohs? Cam Murray, Damian Cook, Dane Gagai, Jai Arrow, Josh Mansour. That's not bad to have those 5 come back into your team. Benji Marshall is actually going to have a rest this week. I spoke about in the recap the fact that Brisbane should have lost by even more to Canberra. I think that final score flattered them. If the Raiders had been their usual or their old like selves of being clinical and ruthless, but it seemed to me like Raiders were just kind of happy to be winning again and didn't push the envelope as much as they could have. The Brisbane halves again are going to be Carmichael Hunt and Gamble, which was the forced option they had to go with last week when Albert Kelly was also a scratching. When I look at Souths, they were actually kept under wraps pretty well last week. The Knights, I think, were unlucky not to be in front at halftime. We were on best bets there that won as well. The Bunnies were stifled, but of course we've got to acknowledge Bunnies didn't have four Origin players in the team last week. So I just actually look at South Sydney as a team that's come off the bye 2 weeks ago, you know, did what they need to do, take care of business last week, get the Origin players back into the team now. This is a team I really could see building up some strong form and really kind of accelerating towards the end of the season. I'm very wary of going against the Rabbitohs at this point in the season. And whereas Brisbane, I've got no faith. And I think, as I said, I think they were really weak last round. And I didn't see any possibility that they were going to win that game, certainly once that one kicked off. So I wouldn't be surprised if Brisbane gets flogged at home. It's a pretty steep line. I actually am going to use this match in the mixed matchup, but I'll touch on that when we get to the second part of the equation. But no best bet with the line being so high, even though I'd be shocked if the Rabbitohs certainly didn't win. Moving to Friday, the Cowboys host the Cronulla Sharks. The Sharkies are a 2.5-point underdog. Felt is back in the Cowboys team, as he's done from suspension. Now, the Sharkies lose Wade Graham due to another head knock. And that actually reminds me, let's give respect to Boyd Cordner. This guy is retiring way too soon. I think it's for the best, we can all agree. And you look at his resume and the incredible amount of honours that Boyd Cordner achieved in the game, and he may still have been an underrated player. Now, we look at Wade Graham and it's kind of scary. You can't help but draw the parallels and wonder if his career is going to come to a premature end as well, just because those head knocks have added up. And of course, I'm speaking about this now because it's very relevant to the Sharkies, because he's an integral part of their team and he is their captain. And they are going to miss him on this trip up to Townsville. Now, I was so surprised by how poor the Cowboys were last week. As much as I had a perfect round on tipping, it's lucky because I was close to taking the Cowboys +6.5 in Manly with no Turbo playing, and the Cowboys were up 12-0 and ended up having 50 put on them. I mean, how does that happen? Another side note, we've got a Bad Beats post in the Tripod group, and actually every week Top Sport gives $50 cash to whoever had the toughest beat of the week. I'm going to shout out a bloke who I've already shouted out like 2 weeks ago, but Brent, 2 weeks ago, hit 100-1 multi. Last week lost a 460-1 multi, and his only losing leg was he actually had the Cowboys in that game. And you would have felt pretty good 12-0 up. Now, this is really obvious to say, but it is true that every time Taumalolo goes off the field, this Cowboys team drops off. And of course, that's understandable when he's a player of that magnitude, but it just should not be that dramatic. It's just something that they have to solve, and other players have to step up. When I see a performance like I saw out of North Queensland last week, and I just can't understand why they were so bad, part of me is willing to put that down to a bad night. So, and you know, it was also their first game with Tommy Dearden now in the halves. Plus, they did have Val Holmes backing up from Origin, I suppose. Whereas, like, the Sharkies played really well last week, but the Sharkies weren't Origin affected. So maybe you got it. And of course, the Sharkies beat Penrith, who had, as we know, like five Origin players out. So in terms of Sharks Cowboys, to me, I see it going either way. The Cowboys are at home. I have to give them the edge. They've won 5 in a row at home. Also, these two teams played earlier this year and Cronulla flogged the Cows. So I do classify this as a revenge spot. When I went to look at the odds, I was actually expecting to find the Sharks to be a slight favourite. And I would have actually really liked the Cowboys. But seeing as the Cowboys are favoured, I don't have a bet. So hopefully that's not too confusing. I think the Cowboys should be slight favourites. If they were an underdog in this game at all, then I'd be tipping them because we could get plus points in some type of market. But since they are slight favourites, it's probably about right. And when the bookies get it right, you can't make money backing it. So you move on to the later game Friday, which could be another good one. The Panthers host the Roosters. The Roosters are catching +11.5. I don't know if Panthers will be an underdog at all this season. Maybe round 20 against the Storm. I think that one's in Melbourne. That'll be a good game. But that's in about 6 weeks. Let's talk about this one. Both these teams, Penrith and Sydney, of course, played in games decided by a field goal last week. The Roosters were the ones getting the win, 35-34 against Gold Coast, while the Panthers came up short. Now, if we just quickly assess what has happened to Penrith in the last 2 weeks, let's just get it clear. Panthers lost by 20 to the Tigers. That game was a bit closer than 20, and the Panthers were without 7 Origin stars. Last week, as we know, they lost by 1. they were without five Origin stars. So Coruscant and Martin did play. Look, that's still a pretty good excuse if you ask me. So I just want to fully contextualize those losses. Now this week, all seven Origin players are back in. However, we've got a note, Kickout has a hammy injury and he is out. And he's probably like a caliber of an Origin type player as well. Just shows how stacked they are. Not to mention, you've got guys like Fisher Harris, of course, who's another international in that team. On the Roosters side of the equation, Sam Walker had that injured shoulder. They kind of fell apart when he went off against the Titans, but as we know, he came back on and won them the game. He's named here. Verrills is named in his first game back off that eye injury, a nasty one. Teddy was rested, or we know he's been dealing with the hip. He's named in this one. And TKO, a late withdrawal last week, is also named to be included this week. So that's massive. You think about Roosters, Panthers. Of course, this was week one of the finals last year where the Panthers The Roosters shot out of the blocks. I think they're up 10-0. And then Penrith didn't blink and were back in front 28-10. That game ended up being a field goal, the difference. It's funny because that game, I think, was at the point where it took that long for some people to acknowledge the Panthers were the real deal. As much as Penrith had all those wins in the regular season, until they knocked off the Chooks in the finals, I think some people started to acknowledge it. Where now, things are a bit different in 2021. Everyone knows how good the Panthers are, and it's the Roosters that are not quite the same team as last year with the key injuries. But the crazy thing is, on paper, this Roosters team still is quite strong, and that's going to stop me taking Penrith. I definitely think they'll be on song. I think they'll step up this week, and they'll get back on track, obviously, with all their key personnel. But I won't take -11.5. You're getting double digits, and you're not going against... You know, you're dealing with a double-digit line. You're not going against a bad team. So I think, could Penrith win this one, you know, really well, for sure? Or could it be a good game? Based on the quality of the Roosters, it also could be. So that's where I'm probably split. It could go either side of that 11.5. I've got to move on as well. Moving to Saturday, the Knights host the Warriors. The line is +4.5, New Zealand catching the points. Adam O'Brien took over this team 18 months ago now, right? And he had some of the best pedigree you've seen of any new coach coming in. He had worked under Bellamy. He had worked under Robinson. And that those early signs of Newcastle early last year was so promising. The defense looked so stout. The culture seemed to have really improved. But here we are now, 18 months down the line. O'Brien had this attacking background, and yet the attack is so underwhelming for me. And I also find him to be a bit of an excuse maker when I watch all the press conferences. Now, you can say he's had a lot of fair excuses, but I think they're starting to run out at this point. And I bring that up because Ponga, Mitchell Pearce, Hymel Hunt, and Dave Clemmer are all back into the team this week. Now, they do have a big loss in Bradman Best, but of course, overall, that's a huge boost to this team. And the other reason that I think it's really poignant this week is because they have failed at home on a number of big occasions this season. What about 2 or 3 weeks ago, having 40 put on them on Old Boys Day? I mean, you never used to back against the Knights at home on Old Boys Day. But this week is the Mark Hughes Foundation round. So again, it feels like a really big home game. And I know you can't expect the world out of guys like PSN Ponga who are lacking that match fitness. But it just feels like, especially when you're playing a Warriors team that have their own issues, have their own key players out of the spine and are in a similar position on the ladder, it just feels like a must-win game for the Knights. Now, speaking of the Warriors, those injuries I'm talking about, Wade Egan is out, as is Harris Tavita for the season, sadly. They do get back Walsh, and they've opted to play him at fullback. They could have possibly slotted him into the halves, but he goes to fullback. Roger to the wing, and O'Sullivan comes into the halves. Marmolo hasn't been moved on to West, and I just remind you guys, Fanua Blake was out with a long injury spell, but he got a game back last week, and again, he's in the team leading from the front. So as I touched on there, and I think Tristan did as well, this is 11th versus 14th. They both have 5 wins. The Cowboys are currently 7th on the ladder, only 2 points higher. So not only the proximity these teams have to the top 8, but the talent, I think, that Newcastle and New Zealand have when they're full strength, I think that both these teams really should be pushing to make top 8, at least getting to that 8th spot. So this particular game is huge. I could see it going either way. I can't go against Newcastle being at home and the importance of it. But without knowing what form KP and Pierce are going to bring in, and then another unknown like Clifford pairing with Pierce in the halves, and me respecting the ability of New Zealand, once again, I'm going to pass that game. So I moved to the first game of the round where I've got a best bet, which is Dragons hosting the Raiders. Raiders minus 1.5 is the best bet available on every bookie. And speaking of top eight, again, this game could go a long way to deciding top eight spots as well. You know, the Dragons, 2 wins from their last 9, but they're still currently sitting in the top eight. And the Raiders are only 1 win out of it, despite being, you know, so far much further down the ladder. So again, these games are vital. St. George have really missed Lomax. It's not a coincidence that their form has dropped off in the last few weeks. And it's also been while he was out. He was a shining light in that back line, as well as kicking goals. And I got to bring him up because he's in the reserves. And even though my best bet is on the Raiders, that there is that risk that Lomax could join this side and bolster the Dragons. I'm willing to take that risk because, again, when I look at a key player in their first game back after a long spell, I question whether they're going to be at full impact. The Raiders are 1-17 from the side that handled Brisbane. St. George actually beat Brisbane by about the same amount in the last couple of weeks. So if you want to draw a form line, you could say these two are in similar form. How about this for a crazy stat, though? St. George are 3-2, so 3 wins from 5 when they play top eight sides. And they are 3-6, 3 wins from 9 when they play bottom eight sides. And clearly that was punctuated last week to our benefit when St. George fell to the Doggies, who are, of course, bottom on the ladder. And I just, another side note, I just want to say something I love about punting. How good is it that, like, 2 weeks ago, our best bet of the round was the Dragons, and we're cheering as they score 52 points. And then a week later, our best bet of the round can be the Doggies against the Dragons, and we're cheering as the Dragons get beat by 20. The great thing about punting, we can be on every team throughout the course of a season and just about against every team as well. Now, how will St. George respond to that loss? Because that's a real low point, and you've got a little bit of, I won't say turmoil, but like players with other things on their mind, with Dufty, now Norman being told they're not going to get re-signed. I think St. George needs a huge performance here at home, or they actually could start to tailspin. But equally, Canberra need to put back-to-back wins on the board and build momentum off getting that bye and then getting that win last week. So at the end of the day, I definitely think both teams will be up for it. As I said at the top, I just think Canberra are better across the park, and they've switched on. They should just be too good for St. George, and it's a very low line to lay, -1.5. So I think Canberra gets the win there, even though they're away from home. Moving to Storm hosting the Tigers on the sunny coast, and the Tigers are +23.5. And Melbourne got a little bit closer to full strength last week, and they were just way too good for the Warriors. And this week they'll get Christian Welsh and the Big Nelson into the front row, while they will lose Jesse Bromwich. But, you know, net result, you're getting a Melbourne team even stronger. Again, for the Tigers, they've lost Adam Dwayne to a head knock. They do slot Marmolo straight into the back line there. And Mbai, who was ruled out last week, is also named to play. I think West got a real reality check last week against Power. Yeah, they'd won 2 in a row, but I had kind of highlighted who West had beaten were teams that were really not near their best on that given day. And I give the West Tigers next to no chance to win this game, just based on the form of Storm, and especially how they play at home, even at their adopted home. You can try and pick an argument to go against the Storm, and as a sharp punter, I think you want to try and find spots to go against teams. And, you know, if you're really clever, maybe you can find that time where you take +24 with the Titans, and the Titans push the Storm to the wire. But I really just feel over a course of a season, you can't be like trying to get too clever, trying to take big points against a team that you just have to accept is a well-oiled machine that's just so formidable and can just steamroll teams. And while it's a very high line and I won't lay the points with the Storm, I'm not taking the Tigers here. I think they're going to be well and truly up against it in this one. Moving to Sunday, another game I've already said I've got a best bet, which is Eels hosting the Dogs, and the line is 20.5. The best bet is to take the Dogs +10.5 first half. I do not know what Fergo has done, but even with Sivo suspended, he stays in New South Wales Cup and a Sean Russell is getting the debut on the left wing. The Dogs unchanged off their winning team, but I mentioned Wotenis Lesniak could come into the side. Both these teams, of course, would be happy with their performances. And I've spoken about that difference that Dylan Brown has made since he's returned into the Eels side. I think they've put up close to 40 points. So, yeah, I think they've put up 40 each of the 2 weeks that he's been back. He just takes pressure off Moses, which then unlocks the running game of Moses. And then they're an even more scary team. If I'm not mistaken, the last time Eels and Dogs met was actually also a week after a Bulldogs win. I think these two met the week after the Dogs had beaten Cronulla. And what I warned about in that game was sometimes when a team gets the monkey off their back and gets a win, they lose that desperation that they're just desperate to get the winning feeling because they actually got it last week. So that's why Parramatta could win this game by about 20. I'm not here to say they won't, but as I talked about in the opening 5 minutes, I'm a believer in this kind of toughness and the fact that the Dogs are close to full strength, and also the theory of playing an underdog in the first half, because if they are going to keep it close, they usually have to start well. It's even harder to defend in the second half, especially if you're already behind. The Dogs are, of course, a limited team. I'm not here saying the Dogs are like a good team or anything, but I think the fact that they know themselves they are limited, they actually will compete hard in the effort areas. And if they compete hard, we're a fair chance. And that will also help us with the mixed matchup, which this week is Rabbitohs to score more points than Parramatta. And that is paying $2.75. So I think that's a pretty juicy price, considering that I've talked about this Rabbitohs team is getting pretty much close to full strength, and they're just fun to watch. And I do not know how Brisbane are going to stop them or even slow them down on Thursday night up at Suncorp. And then as we move to the Dogs-Eels game on Sunday, I've just made the case why I'm on best bet for the Dogs, and I think they might actually kind of make this one at least tight and competitive for the majority of the match. So while the odds will tell you that Eels are actually expected to score around the 35 mark, and I think Rabbitohs are more around the 33 mark, I think Rabbitohs will get more points than Eels this weekend. So, I mean, at $2.75, that's why it's a great bet to me. And I think I said at the top, we're shooting for 5 in a row on these, and they're all odds over $2. So it's been a juicy run. I think I said in the group today, if you'd had a tenner a month ago and rolled the winnings over on these mixed matchups, you'd have over $500 right now. So that is value, that's for sure. Finally, let's hope this tip is value. The Titans plus 4.5 at $1.85 is my best bet, and that is in the Titans Manly game. The line is varying from -7.5 Manly favored to all the way to -8.5. So shop around depending on if you do like the line. For the Titans, Fodawaker joins the team as well. This is another guy who's, you know, now got a couple of origins under his belt, but he was suspended last week. So he comes in, Proctor is out, Brimson has this knee complaint, but they're saying he's better than 50-50 to return. The Titans were nowhere near the Roosters for 50 minutes, then nearly pulled off the biggest or equal biggest comeback in NRL history before then losing brutally. So that was just a crazy game. And I actually mentioned in the recap that I think losing a game that brutally, combined with how poor their start to the season has been, combined with the tough run of opponents they've got coming up, they may ultimately look back and say, you know, a game like that cost them a spot in the eight, which would really shock a lot of people pre-season who pretty much had the Titans as a lock to be in the top eight this year. But the truth is, it's too early to talk about who's going to make or miss the eight. The ladder is congested, and the Titans don't need to lament last week. What they need to do is work their tails off to turn this around, and it can happen this weekend at home. And so, talking about turnarounds, of course, Manly turned their season around in round 6 this year, where Turbo came back in the team and Manly beat the Titans 36-0. And if you recall, I was on Manly in that game, plus 6.5 as a best bet, and I had Manly to win halftime full-time in the multi, and people told me the Titans were going to trample them. But as we know, they won 36-0, and then they won 50-18 last week, and Turbo didn't even play. So clearly this Manly team is pretty legit, and they're a really good footy team. And as I've talked about, the Titans side play footy like they're under 20s. They do not want to try and beat anybody in an arm wrestle. They really look like they want to do the bare minimum in defense, and then when they get the ball, they just want to throw it around and play attacking footy. The last time the Titans kept an opponent under 20 points was back in round 5, and that was against a pretty depleted Knights team that scored 16. So, you do have your reasons why you wouldn't be confident in the Titans. But I just think, like, the Titans have now got 4 Origin players. These guys need to step up, lead from the front, to kitchen sink game for the Titans, roster that can compete. I think a real effort and lift in defense coming from that, just from that desperation. Certainly, I know the defense can't get any worse, and I know they've got points in them. That's why I'm taking the Titans. And again, it's just first half, because I think the effort's either going to be there or it's not. And if they're not within 4 first half, you can't be banking on a comeback every single week. So that's why I think that's the best way to play it. And that wraps my preview of round 15. As always, please let me know what you thought of the tips or my insights, or any points you want to make or anywhere else you see value. I do want to quickly shout out, I've shared for soccer fans, a Euro tip. And it's not me being an expert at Euro. It's just something I've worked with TopSport to get a value price on a double chance bet for the Euros. To give people a bit of fun if they're following that international tournament. The matches are taking place overnight, every night, our time, and you can kind of check the scores and highlights each morning. I've enjoyed doing that. So I shared that, and I'm just saying that because that market's going to close at 5 a.m. tomorrow morning. So check it out if you're interested in that one under soccer, and then look up Tripod Double Chance. And if you're not a Sunday listener, if you just prefer the previews and not the recaps, at this stage, a heads up, I plan to do the Origin 2 preview this time next week, potentially with a guest and maybe even some cameo extra bonus picks from some of the other sharp guys in the Tripod group. Thanks again for tuning in, guys. I hope you enjoyed it. As always, gamble responsibly. See you on Sunday. Lego.